Kabbalistic Yanim is that the tzaddikim in the other world, they daven for us. We don't know what are the activities in the other world. No one came back to tell us, but Chodesh Nisan, tzaddikim in the other world, they spend time praying for us. And we therefore have an obligation to reciprocate and pray for them. It's a two-way street. Whatever all that means.
Should I ask the obvious question?
Yeah.
What do they do the other 11 months of the year?
I don't know. No one ever came back to tell us. How does time work? What goes on there? No one came back to tell us. And we're not interested in knowing. Okay. Until we get there. Okay. Achamev Hashem. Now let's learn over here. Exactly. We're not interested. Okay. Shin Nun Hey. We have now a new topic. The new topic over here is the topic of this, I think, unique. This is a unique chiddush to the Sefer Chasidim, the relationship between Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech. Did you ever hear such a relationship? There's a relationship between Moshe Rabbeinu and Ezra HaSofer. That's a very common relationship. Chazal say that if Moshe Rabbeinu would not have gone to heaven to bring down the Torah, so someone else would do it. Who would have done it?
Ezra
HaSofer. Okay, there is always a replacement. There's always someone that you know. We have all different types of examples of people that are parallel to one another. But I don't recall ever hearing that there's a relationship between Moshe and David. And here we have he writes a lot about this. This is a very important connection between Moshe and David. Here we go. I'll read very quickly. Moshe and David, Hayu Shavin. Moshe and David were equal. Now you can't say that.
What kind of comparison is this?
I don't know. A lot of things in Sefer Chasidim are hard to understand. Let's see. Moshe v'David hayu shavim. Moshe molach arboim shana v'chein David. Moshe was the king for 40 years. Moshe arrived on the scene when he was 80 years old, and he led Klal Yisrael until the age of 120. How long was David HaMelech? How long was David king? David was king for how many years? For 40 years. He was king 7 years in Hebron and king 33 years in Yerushalayim. So they both had authority over the Jewish people for exactly 40 years. Isn't that amazing? It's an amazing insight. Is that they share this concept of leadership. Moshe Malach Abraham Shana v'Yochin David. Moshe Hoshias Yisrael. Moshe, he saved the Jewish people. V'Yochin David. Really? Where do you find David saved the Jewish people? We don't even appreciate this. We think, oh, David was a nice guy. He played the harp the whole day, and he said Tehillim, and you know he had different events. We don't appreciate what he just says. And if not for David HaMelech, the Jewish people would have been wiped out by the Pelishtim. The Jewish people were subjugated by the Pelishtim. They lived a very difficult life in his time. Constant battles. There was constant existential threats to the Jewish people. And it was only the incredible, superb leadership of David that saved the Jewish people from extinction, from genocide. Okay, you need a good leader. The prime minister of Israel now is critical, because you know we're under enormous threats from Iran, from the Arabs, from America. Okay, we're under a lot of threats. The people can very easily undermine the safety and security. Leadership counts. Okay, elections have results. Leadership counts. It makes a very big difference who your leaders are. They make very powerful decisions. And this alone is a very important insight of what it says, that Moshe saved the Jewish people. The Jewish people were slaves in Egypt. Had they remained there for one more moment, they would have been swallowed away by the contamination of Mitzrayim. And Moshe came along and miraculously pulled them out. In the time, what?
They also picked worthy successors
Did they? Yeah, Moshe was not the one who picked his successor. Moshe wanted his children. Moshe wanted his successor to be his children. And Hashem said, no, they are not deserving. Yehoshua is going to be the successor. Okay, so he trained him. Okay, and who is the successor of David? Shlomo. Shlomo is also not so posh that he would be the Melech. That was the Meisel Basheva. Va'adonia ven chagis misnase lemar aniem loich. For Shlomo. Well, David was one who came up with the idea. It was David's idea that there should be a bais. Until this point, Hashem was housed in a curtain, and we spent a lot of time on this. Shlomo.
Okay. I don't know that some other.
Oh, Adonia ben Chagis. You're saying very good. If Adonia ben Chagis would have succeeded his father, and he had the support of many of David's loyal supporters, supported through their support behind Adonia ben Chagis, Misnase Leimar, Ani Emloich. Now, many of David's people would not have just said yes. Obviously, he had qualities of leadership, and many probably believe that his qualities of leadership surpassed Shlomo. It has to be. You can't ignore that. It's only because David took a shavua to Bathsheba that the child that I will have through you will be Yosheva Lakise. And she came at the end of her life and was Toveya. How dare you allow this rebellion, this thing to happen, Adonia ben Chagis, to succeed you? How dare you? And David said, you're right. I swore to you, and I will honor my oath, and Shlomo HaMelech in my lifetime will sit on my throne. You're saying very good. And you're saying is that what would have happened if indeed Adonia would have become the king? Would he have carried through David's vision of building a Beis HaMikdash?
Or would there have been a civil war, or who knows?
And then the bigger question is, would the Jewish people survive? I mean, what would be, from this line, he's saying a statement that if not for the leadership of David, it could very well be the Jewish people would no longer exist, because they were experiencing threats, existential threats.
Like today.
What?
What do you mean they would have?
There's no guarantee for nothing. Lech. No, the Haftach is Shema Yigroim Hachit. They said all the time, is Yaakov Avinu, Rashi and Chumash, all the Yisoidos of life are in Rashi and Chumash, why is Yaakov Avinu afraid of Esav? Why? Hashem made Haftach to Avraham, Hashem made Haftach to Yitzchak, Hashem made Haftach to Yaakov, Hashem the triple Haftach is to the Avos. There's going to be a Klal Yisrael, v'chulu. So what is he afraid of? What are you afraid of? This is the way it's going to be. Rashi and Chumash, Shema Yigroim Hachet. There are no guarantees. A person sins against Hashem, the Chet has consequences. Rashi and Chumash, Shema Yigroim Hachet. I don't know what that means.
It would have maybe destroyed what was there, but there would always be a Klal.
I don't know. I hear. I agree with you actually, but I don't know what it means. We don't know what this means. Here we have a situation where Klal Yisrael was living in extremely dangerous times, and when the average person, including myself, does not appreciate that. You think of the era of David HaMelech. Yeah. There was someone who was shooting a missile from Gaza, and there was someone from Syria, and they had an iron dome, and they knocked it out. There was no existential threat to Klal Yisrael in the time of David HaMelech. Over here, the Sefer Chasidim says, go back and read Sefer Shmuel very carefully, and you will discover is that the Jewish people didn't stand a chance. They didn't stand a chance to survive the hatred, the onslaught of their surrounding enemies. They didn't stand a chance. How then did they survive? L'mala mederech hateva, through the leadership, the spiritual leadership of David HaMelech and his ishtadlus. It's all his credit. Just like Shavim, Moshe, and now we can appreciate a little bit more, that Klal Yisrael didn't stand a chance to survive in Egypt, and it's only because of the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu that we miraculously survived. David was the same. Go back, read the book, and understand the situation that existed at that time in history.
But are you saying now a Chazal, or are you saying this on your own?
I'm saying what it says over here in Sefer Chasidim.
That that if not for David HaMelech, there would not have been a Klal Yisrael.
As we know it, in any shape or form. I didn't make this up. Moshe v'David hayu shavim. Moshe molach 40 shana v'chein David. Moshe hoshia es Yisrael v'chein David. He's equating the two. He's telling us that the situation was extremely dangerous. Moshe,
what is hoshia?
To save them.
Rescue.
Rescue them. Rescue them from an existential threat.
That's adding on to it.
Well, Moshe, if he's saying they're shavim, and Moshe, it's clear as day.
Moshe wasn't there to be the leader of Mitzrayim. There would have still been the Yitzis of Mitzrayim somehow.
Right. Maybe you're right. I hear.
Well, under the category of Yahavre Shlucham.
The end of the day was, it was there. Right. It was Moshe who did it.
So
Moshe did it.
That means he helped them, like David helped them, and Moshe
right.
helped them. He was the savior that
okay, so let's recalibrate. Let's recalibrate. Whatever would have been. But Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who did amazing things to save Klal Yisrael. I don't think the average person. Okay, maybe. Fine, maybe.
But the bottom line is these two people did amazing things. So that's why they're equal.
I don't think we appreciate. So don't look at the one who did the sin. Look at it from the danger. Don't look at it then from the one who did the saving. Look at the time period and a level of 1 to 10. What was the level of danger to the Jewish people? So in the time of Mitzrayim, the danger to the Jewish people was 10. And we needed Moshe. You're telling me, if not for Moshe, so someone else would have filled in. Fine. But it was Moshe. And what was Moshe responding to? What level threat? 10. Now, ask the average person. The lifetime of David HaMelech, what was the threat to the Jewish people? So the Irish person like me would say, I don't know, four, five. If you're ignorant, you don't know what it says in Sefer Shmuel, okay. And David was the one that got us through. If not David, someone else. The fact that he equates the two is telling us is that the danger to the Jewish people is level 10. Forget about the one who did the saving. If not David, someone else. The threat to the Jewish people was level 10. Now, you'll argue it's always level 10 because we don't appreciate it. We don't see it. Okay, maybe yeah, maybe no. You know, there are different ways of looking at it. But it was apparent. It was an open, blatant time of sakana for Klal Yisrael in the lifetime of David HaMelech. And he was the one Hashem put in position to save us from our enemies and we can survive. Let's go further. Moshe number 3. What is the third similarity between Moshe and David? Moshe, tzidkas Hashem osa u'mishpatov im Yisrael. Moshe did tzedakah and mishpat. Okay, whatever those two terms mean, everyone has their ideas. Tzedakah, tzedek, and mishpat. He did kindness, graciousness, and was with precision. There is justice, there is accountability. And guess who did the same thing? V'chein David, I said tzedakah u'mishpat, is a critical that society, Hashem Aleichem, is critical that in society there is tzedek and mishpat. If you have a society where crime pays and punishment is selective to people on the wrong team, then you're finished. There has to be tzedek and mishpat. And Moshe established in Klal Yisrael tzedek and mishpat, and David did the same. This is a sign of great leadership. Next, he David said, "Mishpat tzedek b'chol chalamai." Moshe Amar Mizmar Shir Yoyim. Now here comes some more bizarre things. Moshe is the one who composed, like we learned Tehillim. You see, timely. Moshe composed Mizmar Shir Yoyim HaShabbos. It was him. Moshe composed 11 mizmorim, and one of them is Mizmar Shir Yoyim HaShabbos. And Lahagid, at the end he wrote Lahagid ki yoshar Hashem tzuri v'lo yavlasavo ulefi sh'amru l'moshe Rabbeinu lama samus below itecha. Now here we have the Oviyah, now he goes on to explain. They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, shlif sh'amru l'moshe Rabbeinu lama samus below itecha, why are you dying before your time? Now he's going over here into some new uncharted waters. And he's telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu died prematurely. Moshe was meant to really live a lot longer. Okay, there's a whole discussion, how much longer would Moshe really would have lived? Moshe was meant, it was vasheret for Moshe to live much longer, to take Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael and finish the job and establish them there. But Moshe died at the age of 120. He was denied access, entry into Eretz Yisrael. Lama samus b'lo yitecha. Hala me'odim harishon adecha, me'odim harishon adecha, kol avosecha, from then, and all of your ancestors, hayu yoyser mimcha. All of Moshe's ancestors, now I don't know what this means, live longer than Moshe. How long did Levi, Amram live? I don't know. We must know. It must be in the Pasuk. You can figure out. How long did Amram live?
It doesn't say. Is Amram one of his people?
I think Amram is
six. What?
Amram, I think it was 137. I think it says how much long
Amram. Right, how long?
137. Something like that.
Yeah. Okay, and go, how long did Levi live?
It doesn't say?
No, Levi it does. Maybe
it seems that say the Chassidim over here is telling us that you go and you make a calculation all the way back, all of these people, like Yaakov lived 47 years. Yaakov Avinu, okay, 147, and Yaakov died prematurely. Yaakov was supposed to live until 180. So it seems that I think actually they say that about Moshe. Moshe was supposed to live to the age of 180. I think they say that. It seems that after the Mabul. After the Mabul, the real time to live, the Yimei Shanav, the life expectancy for a person is 180. After the Mabul. Mabul, person can live 1,000 years. Not everyone made it, okay? Adam only made it to 930. And then you had who, there was some person, someone who lived to, Mr. Shelach, someone who lived to the age of 969. Who's that? Mizrach, he was the oldest person, 969. But supposedly, the life expectancy was 1,000. Came the Mabul. After the Mabul, what was life expectancy? 180. Anyone who did not make it to 180 did not live a full life. Do you say that today? I don't know if you say that today. David says, I don't know what you say today, but it seems that after the Mabul, the life expectancy was 180, and the only one that made it to the finish line was Yitzchak. Yitzchak made it to the finish line. Avram only made it to 175, and Yaakov made it to 147. And then you go down the generations until not that many generations more. You have Levi, and then you have after Levi is who? It's Amram? Who's after Levi?
Kohos.
How long did he live?
137.
Kohos, 37?
133. Kohos was 133. Amram was 137. And Levi was 137 also.
So Moshe was a youngster. Moshe is a youngster. Lama lefi sha'amru, they said to Moshe, Amru to Moshe Menu, Lama samus b'lo, it's itecha, not itecha. Lama itecha. Why did you die so young? You die 120 years? That's premature. What's going on over here? Haloi, may Adam harishain, Adecha, I don't know what that means, Adecha you, v'chol avoysecha, hayu yoysemimcha. Going back from man, Adam, and all of your ancestors, you're the youngest one to die. My Korah. Moshe said, you know, you're right. It's not fair. I was cheated out of life. It's not fair. Call a spade what it is. Call it what it is. Ze lo fair. It doesn't make sense. Yet, the greatness of Moshe was, he was matzdik Allah v'sadin. Omar lohem hatsur tamim paolo. He said tzidik adin. Why do you say tzidik adin? Why do you say tzidik adin when a person dies? Basically, this should not have happened. Person, anyone who dies before, okay, at least 120, that's for sure, but maybe even before 180, it's not fair. This is not correct. So what are you going to have? You're going to complain against the Kadosh Baruch Hu? That's because this. Bimatzdik olav esadin hatsur tamim palo lahagid. In the end, so over here, look what he's doing over here. Lahagid ki yashar Hashem tsuri v'loy avlas sabo. And then he goes on to explain, but over here, let's just take a focus one moment. He's doing over here, he's twisting the entire mizmar on its head. When you read Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, what do you say? Oh, the most important part of this Mizmor is the first pasuk. Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. And then you scratch your head. So why are all of the other psukim here? What relationship, what do they have to do with Shabbos? The only pasuk that counts is the first pasuk, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Everything else, what are you doing here? What do you have to do with Shabbos? So we learned this. We spent a lot of time on this in the morning in Tehillim. And we had all different answers. Whoever said Shabbos means Shabbos Kodesh, Shabbos means Olam Haba, Shabbos means Yimos HaMashiach. And we had all these different, and then maybe we can't understand how all of the other psukim they fit into this. The Sefer Chassidim says, you guys, you got it all wrong. The Iker Pasuk of Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos is not the first Pasuk. The crown jewel of the Mizmor that everything revolves around is the end, the last Pasuk. Ki lahagid ki yoshor Hashem tsuri v'loy avlosabo. Tzidduk hadin. This Mizmor, the end of this Mizmor, the last Pasuk of this Mizmor, is Moshe Rabbeinu reflecting that every one of my ancestors lived longer than me, and I accomplished more than them. None of them went to Shemayim to get the Torah. None of them established Klal Yisrael the way I did. I did more than all of my ancestors put together. Why do I die at 120 and not make it at least to 137, 147? How did this happen? So the last pasuk of this Mizmor is Moshe Rabbeinu reflecting that it's not fair, and yet it's okay. It's okay. A matzik olav esadin. I accept it. That is the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, to accept that there are things that we do not understand in this world, and yet we're willing to accept. We're willing to accept it. We're willing to be matzik olav esadin. That is a sign of true greatness. That is the ikor pasuk. Everything else in the Mizmor is dressing, window dressing. You read the Mizmor, focus on what's the Iker, and then work backwards. Mm-hmm. And now he goes on to explain. Moshe, he theorizes, I'll tell you why I had to be that I died early. Why did Hashem do this to me, take my life away from me before I lived out my full life expectancy, before any one of my ancestors? You know why? Because I will always serve for mankind as Musa. And they'll look at me and they're going to say, wow, Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of all men, Hashem held him accountable for his minor errors. We, who are far, far from being anywhere even close to a speck of dust of Moshe Rabbeinu, how much more so will HaKadosh Baruch Hu hold us accountable for our averis? How much more so, Hashem is not going to forgive for Averos. What does this mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have judged him. He's saying over another idea that there are other deficiencies. This thing over here is something that is really, really shocking. Really shocking. Beyond belief what he says to Sefer Chassidim is that when the Ribbono Shel Olam punished Moshe and denied him entrance into Eretz Yisrael and demanded that he die prematurely for what Avera? Because he picked up the mate and he hit the rock instead of speaking politely to the rock. Please give forth water. Instead, he picked up a mate and he beat the mate. So he says over the Sefer Chassidim, let's say Moshe Rabbeinu would not have done that Avera. He would have spoken softly, quietly to the rock. Then he says over here, you know what? Hashem has other complaints against Moshe. Hashem would have gotten him for other Averos and caused him to die prematurely. You think this was the only Avera he did? He did other Averos. Uvishor dinim hoyu yocho lodunoi. Ella, oh, this is a good thing to chap him on. Ela b'mate osa nisim uvamate loko. He used the mate to do miracles, to do miracles for the Jewish people. Kriyas Yamsuf, kaches amate b'yadcha. So Hashem says, you know what? Since the mate already was a prominent tool in Moshe's life, so if I'm going to have to punish Moshe, so I might as well use the mate. He picked up the mate and he hit the rock. He was told to take the mate, but he wasn't told to hit the rock with the mate. So you know what? He misappropriated. He used the mate for something. I told him not to, and I didn't tell him to hit it with the rock. Oh, I'll chop him for this. But if not for this, there are other issues that Moshe has, which Hashem could have used to punish him, to use as a lesson for mankind. If Moshe was held accountable, how much more so are we going to be held accountable for our averus?
Well, you have Parashas Ekev or Veskanan that says, "Gam biyis anaf Hashem." Moshe tells Klal Yisrael that the reason he's not going into Eretz Yisrael is because of the Meraglim. That's why he's not going in. So
interesting.
What is the answer? That he's lying to them?
No, so there are many things.
So he said what the Abarbanel answers is that it was because of the Meraglim, but the reality was God was giving him a second chance, like everybody gets.
Okay.
You don't go down on strike one.
Right.
But Moshe,
okay,
when he hit the rock, that was the second chance.
Okay. I am Palmatara. Do you realize how many chidushim we learned over here in these last couple of lines? Number one, equating Moshe with David. Both of them had 40 years of leadership. They both saved the Jewish people. They both established mishpat and tzedakah. And Moshe Rabbeinu, and he's going to go through. David also died prematurely in a moment, if I'm not mistaken. And Moshe Rabbeinu, then he goes and he tells that Moshe died prematurely. He was supposed to live a lot longer. None of his ancestors died as young as him. Why? To serve as an example for Klal Yisrael. And then the ultimate chiddush is that, by the way, if Moshe didn't do this avera, Hashem would have punished him for other averos. It just, this was a good thing to do. Because since the mate was, Moshe was very famous for his mate, the mate of Moshe Rabbeinu, all the miracles. So this will be a very good example to use to teach Klal Yisrael, don't mess with Hashem. But there are other averos that Moshe had as well. Unbelievable! He goes, what's going on with us? What he's saying over here? Next.
Go back to the beginning. The Shabbat doesn't mean that they were on the same level.
Okay.
It means that they were
this in their time. In their time.
Happened in their lives.
In their lifetimes. Okay, they're parallels in their lifetime, but they're not niskadnu haderes. Okay. Then he finishes the salach and lama. Then he goes on lama meis Moshe pachas b'shem di kol avayisav. May the reason why Taka did he die earlier? Why? So now he says a new idea. You know, again, very, very often in Sefer Hasidim, you go from paragraph to paragraph, he shifts and he tells you completely different things, and the words, the flow of the words is not always so clear. He's telling you an entirely different idea as why Moshe died prematurely. Because Moshe had to demonstrate by his death that when it says in the Torah, it does not mean in this world. Have no expectation that the blessings in the Torah are in this world. Because Torah is called Ki Hu Chayecha V'Oirech Yamecha. Don't you think there's any person in the world that deserves to have the ultimate Arichas Yamim than the one that is the Noisei Na Torah? If the Torah is called Ki Hu Chayecha V'Oirech Yamecha, and Moshe is the one that went to Shemaim and brought down the Torah, there's no one in the world that's more deserving of the bracha of Oirech Yamecha than Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet he died prematurely, younger than all of his ancestors? It doesn't make one bit of sense. So what is the answer? Because when it says Ki Hu Chayecha V'Oirech Yamecha, it doesn't mean in this world. It means in the next world. And that is a lesson that Moshe Rabbeinu had to teach Klal Yisrael. Don't have expectations that make demands of Hashem. Don't hold Hashem hostage in this world that I did the mitzvahs and you have to reciprocate. Any blessing that you have in this world is a pure gift from Hashem. It is not because of your mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. Your mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim is rewarded in the next world, not in this world. Does everyone agree with this principle?
Well,
I hardly doubt.
What is the reward for this world?
Peros. Oichel peroseim. And also, who says everyone agrees with this?
No,
who,
I understand.
Sefer Chassidim, you have to realize, Allah is, you know, it's a good springboard.
Said, that's Yochid.
Everything. But it's a very good springboard to appreciate the other opinions. That's what's going on over here. Next world. Is there anyone in the world, Moshe's breaking over here, is there anyone in the world that was Isaac in Torah and mitztaher on more than me?
With that phrase, is the words that follow that, those words.
What does it say afterwards? Al-Huadama. Okay, let's see. Okay, I don't know. Shari mihu, is there anyone mihu she'osak v'nitztahar ba yoyser mimeni? Hakol lamdu mimenu. Mimela, everyone in the world will have no choice but to learn a lesson from Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone learned the Torah mimenu from him. V'al yodanid in the Torah. And yet v'kitza yamav. He died early. V'chein b'chibud avo em k'siv. It says, arich hasyamim. Umi adam harishoin ad yosef. From Adam Harishon ad Yosef, lo kitzer yomim ki Yosef lohidia shari chasyam shakasim kibud avoim lo diba elo olam haba. Now he's sliding in over here indirectly in another incredible chiddush that I don't think the average person would acknowledge, that there's no one that was mekayim the mitzvah of kibud av like Yosef atzadik. Really? Really? You would say just the opposite.
Right.
22 years, no contact. Right? I don't know. No contact. Get, there's a telephone. Hello, Dad. I'm alive. What's the big deal?
So, when he was with him, he did.
So
we learned from that other times that kibud av is only when you're in the presence of your father, the true mitzvah of kibud av.
All right, this...
The Gemara asks you, he let his father twist in the wind for 9 years when he was on the throne already.
Okay, this opens up a topic of discussion to analyze what exactly is kibud av, what exactly is going on over here in the whole story of Mechiras Yosef, and yet the Sefer Chassidim, his words imply a shocking chiddush that you're not going to hear anywhere else. You're not going to hear anywhere else. Is there was no one from the time of creation until the time of Yosef HaTzadik that was mekayim the mitzvah of kibud av on the level like Yosef HaTzadik.
So, my quality, not quantity.
Whatever it is, you can discuss this. Okay, there's a big topic here to discuss. The topic of kibud av, to analyze all of the psukim of the interaction between Yosef, and it's very emotional. When he meets him, he was saying Kriya Shema, and he fell on his shoulder. What happened? His father told him, Hinei, his father, he says, your brothers are pasturing the animals in Shechem. Go and check them out. Rashi there says, what? You want me to go alone, unprotected, to my brothers? They'll kill me. He was talking Moisir Nefesh to go to the brothers.
Right.
But then what happened afterwards? Chveisnish, this is not our topic now. But he makes this statement which needs explanation. From the beginning of time until Yosef, no one in the world was Mekayim the Mitzvah Bishle Musoi like Yosef HaTzadik. So what would you expect? If there's anyone that would have Arich HaSyomim in this world, it would be Yosef HaTzadik. Kabeir Esavicha V'yasimecha, L'man Ya'arichun Yomecha. L'man Ya'arichun Yomecha, L'man Yitav Lach. Okay, that's an answer, but okay, I hear the L'man Ya'arichun Yomecha, L'man Yitav Lach. And yet, who is the youngest person to die in the Torah? Yosef. 110 years. He was the youngest, Chazrash HaFirish, from the brothers, he was the youngest. Unheard of. If Moshe Rabbeinu was complaining, it's not fair to die 120. And Moshe was much later than Yosef to die at 110 years old. It's unheard of.
It was sudden because that's why the Malbim says, why, what happened? If you take a look in the Chumash, what's the next pasuk? It says, when it says, Vayomus Yosef ben Meyoves Jonim, the pasuk before that is, that Onochi Achal Keles Chemvies Tapchem, I will feed the family. Oh, really? God said to him. We'll see. You know, that was his punishment for saying that.
So, why does it say that he was the greatest in Kibbutz Ave?
He's saying this because he's comparing it to Moshe. He's saying, by Moshe, it says the pasuk. That's what he's saying. Moshe, it says the pasuk. Ki hu chayecha v'oyurech yomecha. Look at me. I'm the greatest of Torah. And look what happened to me. I die. Where's my richas yomim? Yosef, he says, he's obviously referring to that Yosef was mechabed his father to such a madre that we can't even be masik. And yet, Yosef dies the youngest.
Not necessarily. No, that we just said that he was mechabed as a bichah, and he had a very kitchen yomim.
When he talks about Moshe Rabbeinu, he says there was no one like Moshe when it came to Torah. The parallelism here would imply that his darga of kibud avoim was unparalleled. That's what it seems to imply.
I think he's just implying
that. I'm maybe going a little bit too far, you're saying?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah,
but
he's trying to show that he did keep it out.
All right, but the point is taken. No, so he was the second greatest, the third greatest. He excelled in the midah of kibud av, and yet look what happened. He died young. So what's going on, my high? It must be, when it says, it means the oilam shekuloi aruch. Don't have unrealistic expectations in this world. It's Hashem's world. I told you, this is not popular today. Today, they would never publish this. Today, you publish a sefer that says, if you say good morning to your father, you live forever. You call up your father, you live. That's the way, that's the only thing we want to hear today. And you'll find plenty of mekoros that say exactly that. This mahalach today, to be such a baal musar, to live with such musa and have no expectations, it's not a mahalach for our generation. It's not a mahalach for our generation.
You see, it's not true, so
what?
It's counterproductive.
It is. For some people, it is true. You see, many, all the living with emuna, volume, what are they up to, volume
42.
9? Volume 42. I can't deal with that. But living with emuna, they're going to tell you these incredible stories, and they're all true, and they're all very inspirational. Problem is, for every story that you have there in that book, I can show you another 50 stories where it didn't work out. Happily ever after. But there are a lot of stories, and you cannot deny the coincidence. Everyone has. I came this morning 3 minutes late because I had a coincidence that the chance of this happening, of meeting this person at this location, is not 0.0001. The chances are zero. And the Hashgacha Pratis is, to me, is mind-boggling. And it's not for me, it's because it's for someone else. I was just a pawn in this whole scheme. These stories are true. But I said to myself, if this thing could happen for this, which in my opinion is so insignificant, why can't these coincidences happen for me? In good things that are, you know, important to me. Like this thing is for me it's nothing. There's another person that needs it. So that person, they were nene, and I was just somehow in the middle of it. Why can't I have these coincidences for things that I in my puny mind think are important? Okay, you always want, so they do happen. You just don't realize it. Maybe so. In any event, he's saying over here. We live in a world today where we can't handle it. We can't handle this. We can't. We need inspiration. We're very weak. We need chizuk. The Sefer Hasidim is obviously a bal musa she'en kamahu, and he's telling us these incredible things. And then he just says, very quickly, I didn't mean to spend so much time on this because we have to learn Pesach. And then he ends up over here. The David, another chiddush, he says, off the charts. Now, everyone that I know, self included, you talk about David, he lived 70 years, say, oh, David, you got lucky. David, you were only supposed to live for 3 hours. Everyone, that sounds familiar? Chaim Berlin. Sholoi shois hoi shana. Okay, 3 hours. David was only supposed to live for 3 hours. 70 years, pretty good. He broke the record, Guinness Book of World Records, for breaking the life expectancy of a doctor. Tells you the kid's going to live for 3 hours. Sorry, buddy, that's the most he's going to live. Don't have any expectations.
But what does that mean, he was supposed to live?
What that's mean? What it says in the Chazal. I don't know what it means. It means he came into this world with a mazel, with a mazel. If you want to take it literally, he came into this world with a defect. The doctor said, I'm sorry, mother and father, this baby is not going to live. I'm sorry, he can't live.
It's the fairish in the world over storybook.
He's not going to live more than 3 hours. And he made it to 70. How did he make it to 70? Adam HaRishon gave a donation. Charity.com. How much of your life do you want to give to people? He gave up 70 years. Pretty good. To go from 3 hours to 70 years, not bad. Sefer Chassidim says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. David was supposed to live 180 years. I'm making that up. But David was supposed to live 180 years. Nu Rachmana Litzlan, he died a very young man, 70 years old. His father. So, and how long did Yishai live? I don't know.
400 years, it says.
400 years?
That's what it says.
Okay, and then who's David's grandfather? You go Edoim, Boaz, you go to the Gansamai, the whole Yichus. Shavuos, Rus, you go through the whole Yichus. Supposedly, everyone on that list going down to Adam HaRishon lived a lot longer than 70 years. So, my high, what's going on over here? Only 70 years? David HaMelech, David was shakel k'neged Moshe. David did everything right. David wrote the book which people say that gives them long life. You say Tehillim, Yezoicha, Yemavatel, the Gezeres Royce. Everyone's saying Tehillim, 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 to have life. And the one who wrote the book, he dies prematurely, 70 years, when everyone in his family lived a lot longer. It doesn't make sense. And the answer is, he is a model for every one of us, have no complaints. And when it says in the Torah, Arichas Yamim, it doesn't mean in this world. It means in the next world. He's creating it three people, David, Yosef, and Moshe. And by the way, who is this team of people who died prematurely? Who are they? Who are they? When did they all die, by the way? They all died on Shabbos, Shabbos afternoon, Mincha time. And that is why we say Shabbos afternoon, Tzidkos Chatzedek. There are three Pesukim in Tzidkos Chatzedek. If you're Ashkenaz and Sfar, you say them in a different order. But they're the three. Why do you say three? Why isn't one enough? One Pasuk is Keneged Moshe, one is Keneged David, and one is Keneged Yosef. The three musketeers, the three people that are mentioned here in the Sefer Chassidim who died young. They died way before their time. And they died Shabbos Mincha. And every Shabbos Mincha will reflect upon their Petira. Not just their Petira. They died way before their time. You see, that's a whole new dimension. When you go look in all of the books, they tell you, oh, it's a Kosher Tzedek, because three people died on Shabbos. Moshe, David, and Yosef, they died Shabbos afternoon, and the Melu were masker, Tzidik HaDin, Shabbos. You don't say good Shabbos anymore until Shabbos is over. It's a time of Din, the Tzadikim died. The Sefer Chassidim, you missed the whole point. There are a lot of people who died on Shabbos. Dime a dozen. Meir will bring out for you a whole catalog, phone book of people who died on Shabbos. They all died way before their time, and it doesn't make any sense. Because they all had zechuyos to live. David wrote Tehillim, which gives life. Moshe, ki hu chayecha v'yorech yamecha. Yosef, ki b'ravo eim. It does not zel. And they all died younger than any one of their ancestors. It doesn't make sense. It's a musa haskil. That the schar of Torah or mitzvahs is not in this world, is in the next world. And even we who live in a world where we can't handle this, we could at least don't get so worked up when you see wicked people are successful and you see the tzaddikim, you know, they don't get what they deserve. Don't worry. Hashem is keeping cheshbon. If Moshe, David, and Yosef, they dealt with it, tzuri v'loy avlosabo, so we also can have calm down, at least not get all worked up try at least the best that we can. Okay, we have to stop it. We have to go right away to learn about it. Yoni Pesach is so late. Maybe next week we're not going to do Sefer Chassidim because next week I'll do Pesach and Haggadah last week. But let's learn over here some important halachas for Pesach. In Yonim. Okay.